You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the host of this wonderful show. So in today's podcast, I got for you guys a three-segment show on three general topics. First, I'll make the case for Domantas Sabonis to make the All-Star team and maybe Malcolm Brogdon as well. I know Tony did that last week. Then I'll do a segment on why no trade makes sense and maybe even throw out some kind of maybe make sense trades in the future, but why no trade makes sense for the Pacers this year, except maybe in a small kind of window. And then we'll finish off what the next 2 weeks mean for this team as they head into kind of the toughest stretch of the season without their best player, presumably, the whole stretch. So let's start with the case for Domantas Sabonis to be an All-Star in the Eastern Conference. So, just some kind of on the numbers, he's averaging a career high in points at 18 points per game, rebounds at 13.3, minutes played at 34.3, shot attempts at 13.8, made threes at, I think he's averaging 0.2 per game. I guess he actually made 0.6 in his first year of Oklahoma City, so actually is not a career high. I stand corrected on that one. And some of his advanced stats, they're actually not that much higher than last year. He basically is translating what we thought it could be last year if he played this many minutes into actual real numbers, right? So last year, for example, on a per 36-minute basis, he was averaging 20 points per game at 13 half rebounds. This year, he's at 19 and 14. So about the same, but he's actually playing close to 36 minutes and actually really translating in a way that I think is sometimes theoretical in a way. Like, you think we, you know, I think I said last year, well, if he's playing as many minutes, he'd be doing that. But it's like, well, you know, you see diminishing returns as he plays more minutes, but really not seeing that. He's really been basically as good as his stats showed last year, advance wise, but with the actual minutes. And he's becoming, you know, basically playing entire fourth quarters now. He's played 26 of 28 Pacer games. That's kind of a good stat for the All-Star team to do. He's basically been healthy the entire year, except for a small little stretch. Continues to be one, probably the healthiest Pacer outside TJ Warren in terms of games played. And then when you come to the Eastern Conference, he actually has a pretty high rating. So in terms of net rating in the East, he ranks sixth, which is, I mean, this is incredible. So we're now when we do six, I isolated that down to 20-plus games played in 30-plus minutes because that's sort of the best player, I think. You know, if you're going to be an All-Star, you should probably play maybe 28 minutes, maybe even, I think, 30 really. I mean, you know, you're the best player on your team and 20 games means you're basically playing two-thirds of your team's games, which when it comes to an All-Star, I think will be about the 50-something game mark, playing two-thirds, so like 40 to, you know, high 30s to 40 is important for being an All-Star. So in net rating, right, I told you he ranks six. So who does he trail in this one? Giannis at 15.6 of a net rating, Tatum at 12.8, Butler at 9.4, Siakam 9.1, Kemba 9.1, and then actually Sabonis and Embiid are tied at 7.9. And I think Bones is slightly higher, also than Al Horford at 7.8. So in terms of he's, of all those players too, he's the top net rating in terms of center in the East as well. So, right, I guess he tied with Embiid slightly ahead of him, but he's the best center. But if not, he's number two. I guess depends where you put Giannis, but I count Giannis as a forward. When it comes to player impact stat, a kind of NBA.com stat, he also ranks sixth in the East behind Giannis, Embiid, Drummond, Butler, Young, and then it's him. He comes in actually tied with Malcolm Brogdon at 15.6. That's another case of maybe Brogdon, who's number seven in this, maybe should be an All-Star as well. But to me, Sabonis, because of his games played, because of his minutes played, he's playing almost three more minutes per game than Brogdon. He's played two more games so far, and I imagine he'll wind up playing a little more than that. Then Brogdon might missed, what, three games with his back spasm, and then another game, or maybe four back spasm, one with that injury against the Knicks. And so Sabonis is in this list is the second highest, the second center on this, or third center, sorry, behind Embiid and Drummond. So a lack of front court depth in the East is going to help Sabonis, first of all. Lack of center depth, sorry, is going to help Sabonis make the All-Star team. I think he's going to be classified as a center. And the fact that he has really been probably one of the best, what, six to eight players in conference this year is going to help him too. I don't really see why he wouldn't be an All-Star. You know, I think you can make a case he even should be over Drummond because the Pacers are winning more games, right? So the Pistons are like, I think at like the 10 seed right now, give or take. Their record is 11-17, the Pacers are 19-9, and I can make a better case Sabonis is a critical part of the Pacers being 19-9 right now, right? Versus, Drummond is the reason the Pacers are also is part of the reason they're 11-17. I think Sabonis is kind of the rock behind the Pacers. Like I said, he's playing all fourth quarters. That's a huge thing and all that. And that's kind of huge for this team. He's become probably the leader of their most successful unit, which is the bench unit at times. He's having just, like I said, a career year and is really making the case that, you know, that four-year, I think it was $77 million contract, which is actually around what Turner made, is a bargain, right? So a guy like Jaylen Brown, I believe, signed for 4 for $80 million. Buddy Hield got closer in the $100 million range. And yes, Sabonis, who is probably going to make both those guys will not make All-Star games, will probably make an All-Star game making that much money. You know, is there's a case Sabonis could be better even if he was playing more center? Maybe. Certainly a case, but I mean, there's no reason to diminish the way he is playing. I mean, it is an All-Star performance. It is one of the best centers in the league performances. You know, I eventually would love to see how he matches up with a guy like Embiid one-on-one and stuff like that, but they've only played once so far. They do play in a couple weeks, so we'll talk about that. Or they played, you know, like 11, and actually in a week from now. They play a week from today, actually, if we do the, or 2 weeks from today, sorry, if we do the days right. But anyways, so that's what I think I'm watching for is I think Sabonis is going to be the best Pacer to be considered the best Pacer when it comes to All-Star time, and I think the Pacers will get at least one guy on that team. In terms of All-Stars in my head, I guess, if we go down the East roster real fast, like who should be All-Stars, right? So like Embiid, Giannis, Butler will be an All-Star, Kemba will be an All-Star, Ben Simmons will be an All-Star, Tatum will probably be an All-Star. I don't think they'll get three All-Stars. Probably not. Middleton will be an All-Star at 7. You know, Siakam makes 8. And then talking about the level of like a Brogdon, a Bam Adebayo, Sabonis, Trae Young, Drummond, those kind of players will probably be in that next category. Am I missing anybody I can think of, right? So like the Raptors will get Siakam, Celtics will get Kemba and Tatum, Heat will get Butler, Bucks will get Giannis and Middleton, Sixers will get Embiid and Simmons. So yeah, those are the kind of the 7. And I think the 5 come Brogdon, Sabonis, that kind of level. And I think the Pacers should get one automatically because they're they'll be in probably the 3 to 6 seed range in the East. And then it comes to, you know, the second one is kind of up for debate depending on if anybody kind of pops, I guess, from the Nets. Like maybe Kyrie makes it. He probably will make it, even though I don't think he's having that great of the year. Just that team is better off without him. Maybe Magic gets somebody. Maybe Devonte Graham sneaks in and stuff like that. Or maybe Drummond sneaks in. Or Bradley Beal, right? Those are a couple more guys who could sneak into that All-Star game for sure. But it does feel like Sabonis is heading to the All-Star game to me right now. We'll see what happens. But I think I would put some money down on that. And I think if I had to pick right now, I'd pick him over Brogdon simply because of the impact that he's having in terms of playing more minutes, more games. And he's having a slightly, I think, better offensive season than Brogdon. Just the ever bit slightly. But, you know, it's exciting because both Brogdon and Sabonis feel like they fit really well with Victor Oladipo when he returns. So they're going to kind of form this new big three in Indiana, let's say. All right, take a quick break, and then I want to talk about why no trade makes sense for the Pacers. Welcome back into Locked On Pacers podcast. So why does no trade make sense for the Pacers after this December 15th kind of trade period began? Well, simply it makes no sense because the roster is locked in, right? So look at the Pacers' salary cap from head to toe. They're at $114 million this year, $124 next year. Basically, both will be, if not at the cap, a little bit slightly above the cap, but way below the the luxury threshold, right? So, and there's nobody they're going to really re-sign next year, right? So they'll have Leafs option, Holiday's option, as an Aaron Holiday. Sumner will be locked in and stuff like that. I guess both are already picked up. McConnell, I think, is non-guaranteed, but his will be picked up the way he's been playing. So they'll be locked in the $124 million number. There's really no move they can make, right? So the only move they could really make is to get a big salary is a Turner and a Lamb kind of move, which I don't think makes kind of sense right now. So the big trade's available, right? So who's really available, right? So Drew Holiday and Kevin Love are for sure available right now. Neither guy really makes sense for the Pacers team, right? If you're the Pacers going after one kind of player, right, it's a small forward, right? That's maybe a small forward, maybe a stretch forward. And that's the player the Pacers need more than anything. Kevin Love maybe fits that, but doesn't really at his age, fit the timeline of his team, and makes way too much goddamn money for it to matter. And then when you're talking Drew Holiday, he's not one of those guys, and I don't think you can play Holiday, Brogdon, Oladipo. You can certainly try, but I think you get a really wonky lineup that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Personally, you know, so the other thing to look at this trade deadline is, you know, who could become available, and really probably not this year, but next summer. So, like, let's say Philly, you know, loses in the second round of the Pacers, right? And or loses to somebody in the second round. Let's say it's the Celtics, whatever, or somebody. Are they going to go in to blow it up? Let's say they finish. Let's say they finish as a 5 seed and get knocked out in the first round. Do they blow it up? So you're looking at, is Tobias Harris become available? Does Ben Simmons become available? Simmons is just signed to a new mega extension of $170 million. He's making like $29.25 next year. And Harris will make $34.5 next year. Holy crap, that's a lot of money, Tobias Harris. Both those guys might make sense for the Pacers. But again, why would it make sense for the Sixers to trade one of those guys inside the conference with a team they could be competing with? And, you know, the assets the Pacers have don't quite fit what the Sixers need, right? The Pacers pretty much have extra, I would say, kind of forwards or Jeremy Lamb, you know, kind of non-point guards, I guess, and centers, where the Sixers have plenty of centers. They really just need a solid point guard. You know, the only trade that makes sense right now is really like a Tobias Harris for Drew Holiday or Ben Simmons for Drew Holiday. That's kind of what makes the most sense. But it doesn't make sense for the Pacers. The other thought for the Pacers, and this is the one I'm kind of leaning towards, so the question becomes, do the Pacers have too many good players? Now, I know it's kind of odd to say, but like most of the time you want like 9 good players, right? That usually kind of means you get the right blend of guys playing enough minutes and whatnot, and not have to worry about, you know, some guy not getting enough minutes, stuff like that, right? So the Pacers, 9, obviously, right now, is Brogdon, Turner, Warren, Lamb, McDermott, Justin Holiday, Sabonis, McConnell, and Aaron Holiday. When Oladipo returns, that means Jeremy Lin goes to the bench. You can't really bump any of the other. You can't really play all 5 of the Holiday brothers, McConnell, Lamb, McDermott together because nobody can play center. So, I mean, he still needs Sabonis in that lineup, and Sabonis is the key to that lineup being really good. So I think he should be in there, to be honest. So then the question becomes, who do you bump out? And the way the chemistry has been going with those 5 guys is like the Sabonis, McConnell, Holidays, and McDermott. It feels like you want to keep that as intact as long as possible. So is there a possibility, I think, that Jeremy Lamb could be on the move simply just because you don't want to script chemistry. You can slot Oladipo right into his role. He's been up and down hurt all year. And he's a player who some team would find valuable. And could you maybe, you know, steal a young player or a pick for a team kind of desperate to make a move? So when you go on the NBA standings, right, I mean, looking at teams that are, let's say, desperate to make the playoffs. So, for example, we're talking the Magic, the Hornets, and the Pistons, right? Well, I knock off the Pistons right away. I don't think you make a trade with a team in your division. I don't think you make a trade. You know, you just don't do that unless you feel there's no threat, which maybe they aren't. So then it comes down to, I think, like, could you get the Magic or the Hornets to sort of trade you something of value for Lamb? We're not talking about somebody in fifth rotation today, but a young player or whatever, because if you're going to trade Lamb, you're going after, again, a small forward who could be your future small forward, right? That's what the Pacers don't have right now. It's what they need the most. That's kind of the goal, right, is to get that player. And so I doubt you can get a pick from the Hornets just because they're kind of in half tank mode and will be tanking next year. But again, they've been good this year, so maybe not going to tank. But if they miss the playoffs, the Hornets playoffs are probably going to be in the top 10 with the way wild lottery is. They might be a top 5 pick. So if you get a pick from them, it's probably going to be protected. Same thing goes for the Magic. I guess the Magic question is, could you steal, like, I don't think there's any chance they trade Jonathan Isaac. He's been too good, but is there maybe could do that? I don't know. I mean, to make the salary becomes kind of interesting. But the Magic feel like a team that's kind of ripe, right, to get to trade the Lamb too, because they might be desperate to be the 8th seed again. Lamb probably fits them and adds some depth to them in a way that another player does. But then again, you know, they don't have like enough salary match, and the player makes the most sense probably as like a Jonathan Isaacs, but I'm not sure. They're definitely not going to trade him. He's been too good this year and makes too much sense. So I don't really know if a trade makes sense there, and that's where we get back to is, I think if you could trade Lamb for a first-round pick, but you think the salaries match the problem, you might pull that trigger because you might kind of replenish your first-round picks. You're the Pacers. But again, it feels like with the way every player's moving so much right now and just the empowerment of the NBA in a sense, there seems to be really no ability to make a big trade anymore, right? So like, all the big-name players who were a bit on the move, you know, until the next kind of generation gets steps up, it's really like, you know, the forwards, the pace, you know, the best forwards in the league right now are basically LeBron, Giannis, AD, Butler, Kawhi, Leonard, PG. Those are probably the best 6, right? And Durant, I guess. And all of those guys, except for Giannis, have switched teams, right? So there's no way to get any of those guys because they've all been moving teams and all kinds all over the place, right? So, like, there's really not any forwards out there, right? The forward position is really clogged with a lot of these, I would call veteran, just you know, all NBA dudes. And then there's kind of this maybe next crop, what you call like the Siakams, but they aren't quite there yet, and they're not available because they're too young, and maybe the Ben Simmons falls in there. So, you know, if you're looking for a forward, Tobias Harris makes sense, I guess. And maybe there's a three-team trade where Tobias goes to the, you know, Tobias for Drew Holiday, and then Tobias has been the Pacers or whatnot. But again, I'm not sure that really makes it for the Pacers too. He's making way too much money. And when you add, you know, the soon-to-be Oladipo extension, they're going to be in a huge salary situation. I don't think they want to pay the luxury tax. You know, I think they're okay being close to it, but I don't think they want to pay a luxury tax to have a team. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure Tobias Harris puts them over the hump, per se, let's say, in a way, you know, you have to give up one of Sabonis or Turner, and I don't think Tobias Harris is worth that much more than those guys, if any. So I'm not sure he puts them over the hump in any significant way to have one of those guys over one of those guys, and then they're on the luxury tax, butting up against it and whatnot, which is not what they want to be if they're not a championship team, right? So, you know, I know with the exercise, probably didn't mean much, but when you get to it, it really, well, what it looks like out there is the only trade to make is if you feel like you have too many good players, you want to trade for depth or trade for a pick to be able to do something later, or just to kind of create more young talent, because that's the part of the Pacers, right, is that the Pacers have done a decent job developing young players. They don't have their first-round pick next year, so maybe they want to get back in the first round. But then, again, why wouldn't a Jeremy Lin trade be available in June? Why would you need to make it in February? Anyways, maybe it's a team that, you know, maybe there's a team that says we want him now to make a run, but I'm not sure it fits salary-wise and works out for anybody. So at the end of the day, it feels like there's no smart move, so why make a move? Why not ride this team out? You haven't seen Oladipo's like with this roster. Maybe it fits all together really well. Maybe there is a way where Justin Holiday goes to the bench and Lamb fits right in there, and it becomes sort of this awesome team around Lamb and McConnell and the Aaron Holiday and McDermott and Sabonis and whatever, and all works out. So maybe that happens and that's enough. I'm skeptical, to be honest. I think what's making the bench unit so good right now is the selflessness, and I think Lamb is a more selfish player just because he's sort of a ball stopper. And so that kind of concerns me as all, but we'll see when that happens. I think you got to like let that happen before you just pull the trigger. So I don't think we're going to see a trade with the Pacers in February. Maybe come draft time if they want to get back into the draft, but it's not a great draft this year. There's not a ton of depth, so I guess you take what it is and keep developing young players and see what happens, right? They got, you know, Holiday's turning into something. Goga's shown some flashes. We'll probably need a year. You know, won't be anything, you know, valuable until the second season, but who knows there. And then maybe you can make a move with the team for one of those forwards that you need to kind of get over the hump, per se. All right, so one more break, and then I'm going to talk about the meaning of the next 2 weeks for the Pacers. So the Pacers are riding high, obviously, after beating the Lakers. I know Anthony Davis didn't play, but he did Oladipo, so I call that a wash, in my opinion. So the next kind of, let's call it, from now until really the end of January, really, and we're talking pretty much until their West Coast road trip, or after this, they've got a very tough schedule ahead, playing a lot of good teams, a lot of teams that if they beat will put them in a position to be a better seed. So coming up, for example, they play Sacramento on Friday, Milwaukee Sunday, and a back-to-back where they play Toronto that Monday, then Miami the following Friday, New Orleans that Saturday, another back-to-back again for them. Then Tuesday versus Philadelphia, Denver, Atlanta, Charlotte, Miami again, Chicago, Philadelphia, Minnesota twice, Denver, Utah, Phoenix, Golden State, Portland, Chicago, New York, Dallas, and Toronto twice. Let's stop there. So that's from now until February 7th. That means in this stretch, they play Toronto three times, Miami twice, Philadelphia twice, Minnesota, who I guess is not as good, twice. But they play the teams in the East ahead of them, at least three of the five of them twice, and then Milwaukee once. And it's going to be important for the Pacers to win some of these games, right? So they're probably not going to sweep Toronto, let's be real. They're probably not going to sweep Philadelphia, let's be real. But I think they need to win one of these two homes against Philly they have coming up. And they need to probably, you know, I would say the next week of the next six games they have, they need to go probably 3-3, beating Sacramento, beating New Orleans for sure, and then beating probably one, if not two, of Milwaukee, Toronto, Miami, Philadelphia, to really feel like they're in a good position to kind of compete for the three seed. Because I think the three seed is open for taking, right? So in the East right now, maybe the two even, really, to be honest. So right now in the East, you have the Bucks just running away with it, right? 24-4, they're amazing. They're probably going to win 65 games and whatever. You know, if you beat them, it's because of something, you know, an injury like happened to the Lakers, whatnot. The Pacers set a game back of the two seed, right? Miami's 28, Pacers 19-9. That's a game apart. Between them and the Celtics, at 17-7, Raptors at 19-8, and Philly at 20-9. So all teams they could catch with wins, so I guess not Boston, but they could catch them all with wins, theoretically, in the upcoming games, right? not saying the Pacers are the 2 seed in the East, but there's a chance here where if they can run the table and, you know, go 5-1, maybe only Milwaukee, they will be the 2 seed come the game of 2020, right? If they beat Toronto, Miami, Philly, and only lose to Milwaukee, they will be 24-10. I can almost guarantee that will put them as the 2 seed. Now, maybe Boston ends up being also there or half game ahead, but they will be in contention for the 2 seed. I think that's an interesting thing for this Pacer team because I think, at least I'm starting to think, this team is could be special, right? They're really one player away from being uber special, and they have that player coming off injury, coming back. That they're one all-star star away from being uber special, and luckily they don't have to trade for it. They have him waiting in the wings as soon as he comes off injury, right? So if they're at that 2-3 seed with Oladipo returning, I mean, this team's ceiling becomes Eastern Conference Finals level because they get to the 2 or 3 seed, and they've got a first-round home game. They're winning that first-round series, I think. And then it's about, you know, can they get a, you know, if they're the 2 seed, can they get another home round series? I think if they're playing at home, they're probably not going to lose a series, in my opinion. I think if they have home court, they will probably win both series. You know, it's going to be tough. I mean, the 2 seed is especially important because it means a first round guarantee, because I think there's a six best team in the East, and then there's a drop off. The Nets are good, but they're not great. And they're a team at 2-7 you should be able to beat. Maybe even Orlando sneaks in ahead of the Nets. I doubt it. Feels like it's kind of six teams, Nets on its own tier, and then a drop off to like the Magic, Hornets, Pistons, kind of on their next level. Maybe even just Magic, Hornets on the next level, really, realistically speaking. But that 2 seed should be the Pacers' goal, and they might have a shot at getting to it. I mean, last year the Pacers could have got I think they were the 3 seed in the East until Oladipo got hurt, and it felt like for a minute there, you know, give it 2020, they were really going to make a run for it. So we'll see when he returns. I don't think it's going to be to mid-January. I mean, if I had to put it right now, it looks like, they go on a five-game West Coast road trip on January 19th. Could he return right before then? Maybe. It feels more likely that he returns right after then, like January 29th, something like that. But if he can come back, I don't know if we'll see. Maybe we'll see him in 2 weeks, per se. Let's say if we see him, you know, if he makes a return more like January 10th, that puts him in a chance to play when they play Philly. If this team gets over some hurdles without him, I think the ceiling is sort of almost unlimited they can get with him in a way. I don't know how high this team could go. I think they're playing really good basketball right now. I think teams will adjust and figure them out. But it does feel like this team has an opportunity with Oladipo, with Brody, with Sabonis to build sort of this awesome kind of big three. And then you're talking about Turner and Warren being the fourth or fifth best player on a team. That's And, you know, Lamb at the sixth, that's a really good team with a good bench of McDermott and Holidays and McConnell. I mean, it just this becomes a really good basketball team, a really well-constructed team with lots of talent up and down, and then clutch top play when you got Brogdon and Sabonis and Oladipo, because those three guys, I mean, especially Oladipo and Brogdon now, are clutch players. So it's just the right blend. And then, I don't think they can beat Milwaukee per se, but they could definitely be an Eastern Conference final team. And that's something that the Pacers have consistently been every, you know, I can say 5-10 years, right? So throughout the 90s, they were constantly in the East Conference Finals. Early 2000s, same thing. Early 2010s, the same thing. I'm getting to the early 2020s, and it might be the exact same thing again. You know, it feels like every 5 years, this team kind of remakes itself in the East Conference Finals for 2 or 3 years. I love your guys' thought on this. I know maybe I'm being too rosy, too optimistic, so if you want to knock me down a peg and be a Debbie Downer, feel free to do that. Tweet at me at FreedmanAdam5 or the podcast at LockedOnPacers. You can follow my co-host Tone East at TeastNBA. That's all for this Locked On Pacers podcast. We will have a Kings preview and a Bucks preview tomorrow. Then Tony and I will be back for a weekly show once again on Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys tomorrow.